The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we continue our series with our critical theologians. As you know, we have a series with Anku Sara, Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III, who is a critical theologist. His degree, his doctorate's degree, is about... Is it critiquing? Aaron, is that the right word when you say critical theologist?
Well, interrogating.
Interrogating, thanks.
Yeah.
Interrogating.
Critically.
Critically, various religious texts, right? Seeing the commonality of these various texts and concluding, his bishop, Pope, have concluded that they came from an original source. Anku Sara, Cleveland Aeneas III, the Reverend, of course, and I think, what do they call again? I forget. What is your title again?
Cahoon.
They have concluded that the various texts, the Emerald Stone? Can you help me out here, Dr. Aeneas?
No problem.
Emerald.
I don't remember my mic.
Make sure Uncle's mic is on, please, producer. The Emerald Stone. What else? The Persephone Papyrus.
You have various records, and these records, people have gotten their hands on portions of the records, one of which is what they would call the Emerald Stones.
Give me the list of all these things so I can start my program. Go ahead.
Nope. You want to know the names of the various books.
The various books, yes.
Right.
The various books.
So
which you have, you all have critically interrogated and concluded that all came from Africa, and that's et cetera, et cetera.
So let me just be clear before I go into our records. When you go into the Zondervan King James Study Bible, they have a list of actual records that they call non-biblical texts. This is what they say: major representative examples of ancient Near Eastern and non-biblical documents that provide parallels to or shed light on various old. So this is not the Holy Coptic Church yet. This is what the people who commentate in the study Bibles of the King James Version Bibles. It's Zondervan.
I can pause you there.
Go ahead.
I know who the King James Bible is. I know
right.
what that is.
No, I'm trying to get right? to your point.
And now, I know.
Yeah.
And now you're saying this is a Zondervan?
Zondervan King James study. You know, they have different study Bibles.
Okay.
So you have different. I actually was supposed to bring another one to show you today. They have a heritage King James Version with all the black pictures in it.
Really?
I can bring that for you next week just to
I
show you.
I didn't know they had different types of King James Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, but go ahead. Sorry.
So within that particular Bible, they have letters or records such as the Armana letters, which are letters that were hundreds of letters written primarily, they say, by Canaanite scribes to illuminate social, political, and religious relations between Canaan and Egypt. And these were during the reigns of Amenhotep III and Akhenaten. That's important because the Holy Coptic Church, when we talk about Akhenaten, and they say that he was the first monotheist, and we know he wouldn't have said monotheist, we say Atonis, right? He had records of how to deal with these people called Canaanites, right? You have records such as the Atrahasis epic, which is an Akkadian record. I'm just reading some of them. You have the Dead Sea Scrolls. You have the Ebla tablets. You have the Elephantine papyrus. You have the Enuma Elish. You have the Jazir calendar. You have the Gilgamesh epics. And we can go on and on and on, right?
Yes.
These particular records, the King James scholars are saying that they relate to the Bible as we hold it today, which is another way of saying this is where it came from.
Well, you can interpret it this way. It came from, I'll say they're similar, relate, that they are associated
again, because
with the King James references.
Right. So my study, however, as someone who has gone through the critical theology within the Coptic Seminary, right, our studies, we've had to juxtapose these records with what we're calling the Bible today in order to understand that, first of all, these records are much older than what the Bible, as we are holding it today, says it is, right? And we're also looking at the fact that they are admitting, right, that these records, for example, when they say the Enuma Elish, they say the early second millennium BC, they say Marduk, the Babylonian god of cosmic order, is elevated to the supreme position in the pantheon. The seven tablet epic contains an account of creation. They say this relates to Genesis 1 and 2. You understand? So I'm just telling you what they are saying before I get into the original books of the Bible.
I understand. You see? And King James, that's Anglican.
That's right? Anglican.
That's Anglican.
Yeah.
And
then yes. The Catholics, you go back to the Vulgate, you go back to the Orthodox Greek church, you have the Septuagint, et cetera, et cetera.
And they have all kind of different books. Because I come across a Catholic Bible and they have 74 and whatever it is, and King James of 66. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Right.
So I just want to start as my preamble so I can go to the subject at hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I want to talk about numerology and where numerology is in the Bible and where the number counts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is Jesus being risen from the dead on the third day important?
Mm.
Is the Lord resting on the seventh day important?
Mm-hmm.
Is the day, the Sabbath day, that specific day important? Mm-hmm. But I have a clip I want to play. Cue that clip up so we can play that so you can listen to respond to it, right? Because I have some Baptists, Pentecostals, Protestants who say worship on, choose any day as the Sabbath. It's good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could be on a Wednesday. Wednesday could be the Sabbath, right? But I had pastors like Miles Monroe, who I spoke to, said, yes, he have church on Sunday, but Saturday is his Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And I said, but you're mixing me up. Either Saturday is the Sabbath or Sunday is the Sabbath. You can't have two different Sabbaths. And I want to know whether specific days in the Bible is important. Specific numbers in the Bible is, because some people say certain days means, certain numbers means complete, right? And they cite these numbers. And I want to know, me as a Protestant, right? Should I be conscious of numbers? But anyway, producer, play the clip for me that I have here. And then I have something I want Aaron Green read for me later on too. Go ahead, producer.
You can search your Bible from Genesis to Revelation and you won't find one scripture in the entire Bible where God both blesses and sanctifies the first day of the week, which we know as Sunday, to be set aside as some special day for holy observance. So why is it that the majority of the Christian world religiously observes Sunday, the first day of the week, as some type of holy day? Well, it's because in the year 321 AD, Constantine the Great, the emperor of the Roman Empire and a Roman Catholic convert, seeking to heal the division within his empire between paganism and Christianity, the inhabitants of Rome were to rest on the venerable day of the sun, which is the first day of the week, Sunday. And this is the origin of the human authority behind the institution of Sunday as a holy day, as opposed to God's true Bible Sabbath day, which is the seventh day, which we know as Saturday. And whether you like it or not, the truth is the truth.
So I wanted to play that, and thank you very much, producer, for playing that, right? The truth is the truth. And some of those things the blogger said, I don't necessarily agree with, right? But I wanted to make commentary on days, specific times, specific star alignment. Like Easter. Easter is celebrated on a particular day by a particular, my word here, equation. It has to be the... That's Good Friday or it's Easter Sunday? The second, so after the equinox. Go ahead.
So it's the first full moon.
First, there have to be a full moon.
Right.
See, that sounds like magic to me, but that's okay. It had to be a full moon. Then what happened again?
So there's the spring equinox or the vernal equinox, the first full moon after that particular point where the sun is over the equator. That's when Easter would fall.
See, who knew that? Especially as people who don't study Bible history, right? I thought they just pick a day. And I always said, but why Easter always changing? Then I realized there's a formula. there's an equation, like mathematical in quotes, right? That one must go through in order to make a conclusion on which day it is. I just learned that every 400 years, there is no leap year. I did not know that, but I mean, I don't know anyone who lived 400 years to make a testimony on that. But the Jesuit priests realized that, first of all, they had 365 days, right? And they realized that the year was incomplete. So then realized it has 300 and a quarter days, and they created the leap year. Then as they doing that mathematical equation, they realized that Easter would have fallen into the Jewish, Passover. Mm-hmm. And in order for that not to happen, right, they created a new mathematical formula that every 400 years they'll take back the leap year in order to keep it out of the Jewish Passover. Then I didn't realize that they had so many smart people back then, centuries ago, who did mathematical equations, that their worship, how they see God, how they worship God, is based on math. Certain things have to be on a particular day, particular time, particular hour, and the customs has to be run. Grew up as astrology, as, numerology, is magic. Mm-hmm. And that's why I want to say, even if it's magic, and if you're doing astrology, and right, what I call divination and numerology, you're going to hell. That's what I got taught. So I want to know, what does the Coptic Church, the Christians, mm-hmm. getting there, think about numerology, divination, and astrology? So surely I can look inside the stars and say, well, there's going to be a solar eclipse, a lunar eclipse, and because it happened before, this will happen.
Right.
Right? There can't be no magic in that. That's science.
Right. So, first of all, good morning, and namaste, which means I bow to the divinity within you. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Enius III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. I'm the head priest of the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah here in Nassau, Bahamas. And we are under the auspices of the Holy Coptic Church International, led by our Basesh, or our head scribe, Rev. Dr. A.J. Varma. The points that you brought up, there are many. And so I just want to kind of set the table by first looking at a verse that most people, I think, are familiar with, but they may not have seen it from an African perspective. In the beginning was the word, yes? But this word, or a vibration. So within the African theology, we understand that every sound or vibration has a corresponding form within what is called the physical world, all right? So that corresponding form or that which is birthed out of that vibration, all right, lends to the reality or understanding that everything around us is vibration. Everything around us is actually vibrating, whether we can pick it up or detect it or not. We actually are in a vibrational world. Understanding that means that the governing laws of the boundless universes are also vibrations, all right? Vibrations that direct the nature of everything in this part of reality. Now, why is that? When we look at, for example, what we're calling atoms, all right? Atoms have atomic weight. And for anybody who may not be familiar with what I'm talking about, just Google the periodic table. I know everybody's not familiar with it, so I don't want to, assume people understand. But atoms, everything is made up of atoms. And an atom is almost like a miniature galaxy, a miniature universe. But atoms have weight, all right? Weight deals with numbers. Numbers set speed, all right, of time, and speed determines vibrational level. Vibrational levels determine density, and density determines appearance. Thus, numbers are the key to materialization, thus the personification into flesh and blood, as everything has a vibrational number or rate, and this is what determines which plane or subplane a thing will be able to be perceived on, giving it its density, which is what is meant by they grew the numbers. These guardian angelic hosts, they grew the numbers. They were responsible for, and this is going to sound crazy, but bear with me. Before you had these atoms or this space where atoms actually existed, they had to create a space of nothingness. Now, what is that? A space of nothingness. There had to be a space where these atoms could be placed in order for them to vibrate and actually form what today in chemistry we would call the periodic table. All right? Now, this is going to lead into your question about the Sabbath and all of these different things. The periodic table has seven periods, just like our week has 7 days. Spectrum, the color spectrum of the light spectrum, you have seven colors, Roy G. Biv, right? These seven periods ultimately are the foundation of what we call, when I say periods, I'm talking about the periodic table. These seven periods of the periodic table are the foundation of what we call reality today, all right? So if you want to understand how reality functions, you have to understand this level of the physical world. When you start to ultimately, and this is true religion. So some people say, oh, this is a very scientific conversation. True religion is true science, and true science is true religion, right? So the reality of this understanding of the periodic table, and first and foremost, the very first periodic table was not even the square one that they show you in school today. It was actually circular with hydrogen and helium in the middle. And if you understand the anatomy of a star and that a star has seven different phases of it, then that takes you right back to the periodic table. So the periodic table has seven periods. The days of the week, there are 7 days. When we talk about the word Sabbath, right, in the Latin, if you say the word Saturday in the Latin, you would say sabado. This sabado is this word Sabbath. The word Sabbath does not mean only to rest. Yes, we were told to rest, but it really means to desist. And we're talking about 7 periods of 7,000 years. And in the book of what they call Genesis, which originally is the book of the Bereshith, this Bereshith, or this replenishment, the days were not 24-hour days. One day unto the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So what these ancient records that we referenced earlier are talking about is that when they said on the first day was 7,000 years. And it was 7,000 years because these guardian angelic hosts that are actually a part of this replenishment, they're going back and forth to what is called heaven in the New Testament. What they say is Uranus, this Orion. This trip between this solar system and that constellation is roughly 3,600 years. It's 3,600 years there and 3,600 years back. So you have 7,200 years, all right, for them to go and come back. So every time they came back, they said, okay, everything we set in place, it was good. And so now we can move on to the next stage or the next period, if we talk about, of creation. All right? And so when we are looking at what the monotheistic teachers, what they're referencing as Sabbath and what they're referencing as, some people say numerology, astrology, etc., these things existed, even if we go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, where we are instructed, and this is not, we're not talking about astrology here in this point. It says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs. This word for signs is uth, a signal, as a flag, a beacon, a monument. They say a omen, they say a prodigy, as evidence, and for seasons. The word for seasons, they use the word here in the Hebrew as moada, an appointment, that is a fixed time or a season.
So I can study the stars, and the stars mean something? There's signs and wonders inside the stars?
It's the interpretation that becomes witchcraft. It's the interpretation that becomes demonic. If you are coming from a Hellenistic perspective, the Africans had an understanding of the stars. They talk about in Mali called the Dogon tribe that has a, they have a season every 60 years called a Sigwi. And they knew about a star that NASA and all of these, you know, scientists who have the high-tech equipment, they were not able to see this star until I think maybe the early 1900s or I can't remember exactly when, but very recently compared to when these Dogons who had knowledge of the Sirius star constellation, right? They had knowledge of these stars way before these so-called scientists, mundane scientists, had the technology to see the star, right?
So
ultimately, to answer your question, yes, we had what's called solar biology, whereas the Greco-Romans have astrology. They have magic. We have alchemy.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
They say the Sabbath day is on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Is that specific day important, or I can have my Sabbath on any particular day? That's the long and short of it. I want to know if our God is, purposeful, like things ain't by chance, or he just said, man, let it happen. Is this world that he created by chance,
not by
specific calculation that if you agree, we all die, right?
Right.
If you put an extra oxygen here, we all die. If you take out enough number of trees, we all die. Is our God in creation specific?
Yes.
Is the Sabbath day specific for a reason?
Yes. And let me say it this way. When the Greco-Romans got their hands on this information, and the argument they'll say is between Friday and Saturday. We as true Christians, we as true Hebrews, we as true Muslims, first of all, we worship every day. We don't worship on the Sabbath. That's not the way we ultimately live our life. We worship every day. We gather on a Sunday in these parts of the world where people gather on Sunday. Because in our true religious identity, we gathered Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because what they call Islam, Judaism, and Christianity was originally one religion called At-One-ism, Atone-ism. And so we would prepare for this Sabbath on a Friday evening, because the Sabbath begins at sunset on a Friday evening, and we would light, so today, we would light our Sabbath or Shabbat candles 19 minutes before the sunset on a Friday. And those candles will burn until night sunset on what is called Saturday. And then we gather on Sunday. So this period of desisting, because that's what the word means, when these guardian angelic hosts were replenishing, and there have been multiple perpetual replenishments, when everything was in place the way that they saw it needed to be, that's when they said, we take our hands off of it. We are no longer going to have to interfere with what's taking place in this earth or in this sphere, because we have left systems in place now to actually maintain the balance and maintain the order. Go ahead.
Okay. I want to continue this subject, but we won't be able to continue because we still have.
Let's continue.
Right. I want Aaron to read a part of something I want you to comment on.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. This is from the Book of Enoch, chapter 3, titled "Fallen Angels," verse 6, and these are the names of their leaders. Samlazaz, their leader, Araklaba, Ramil, Kokablel, that's K-O-K-A-B-L-E-L, Tamlel, Ramlel, Dan-El, Ezekiel, Barakijah, Asael, Amaros, Batarel, Ananel, Zaglel, Samsapil, Satarel, Turel, Jomjel, Sariel. These are the chiefs of tens. Verse 7, and all the others together with them took unto themselves wives, and each chose for himself one, and they began to go in unto them and to defile themselves with them. Verse 8, and they taught them charms and enchantments and the cutting of roots, and made them acquainted with plants. Verse 9, and they became pregnant, and they bare great giants, whose height was 3,000 ells, who consumed all the acquisitions of men. And when men could no longer sustain them, the giants turned against them and devoured mankind. Verse 10, and they began to sin against birds and beasts and fish, and to devour one another's flesh and drink the blood. Then the earth laid accusation against the lawless ones. Verse 11, and Azazel taught men to make swords and knives and shields and breastplates, and made known to them the metals of the earth and the art of working them, and bracelets and ornaments, and the use of antimony, and the beautifying of the eyelids, and all kinds of costly stones, and all coloring tinctures. Verse 12, and there was much godlessness, and they committed fornication, and they were led astray, and became corrupt in all their ways. Verse 13, Semjaza taught enchantments and root cuttings, Amaros, the resolving of enchantments, Bara, Kijal taught astrology, Kokabel, the constellations, Ezekiel, the knowledge of the clouds, Arakiel, the signs of the earth, Shamsiel, the signs of the sun, and Sariel, the course of the moon. Verse 14, and as men perished, they cried, and their cry went up to heaven. Again, that's chapter 3, the book of Enoch, entitled Fallen Angels.
And thank you very much, Aaron. I want to put that on the record because the book of Enoch is trending all over social media. People say, oh, what about the book of Enoch? And then they cite the Ethiopian Bible and say, oh, they have the book of Enoch. But you mentioned the terms of studying the constellations, right? Mm-hmm. They say the fallen angels taught that. You mentioned medicine through roots.
Okay, just don't use the word Obeah, and I good.
Yeah. Yeah, right? They say the fallen angels, or these angels taught us that, right? Mm. So my question to you, no, even this. They taught astrology. They taught makeup. Women had to put on makeup. And they're saying that these 200 angels taught man that. And because they taught man, they say, and verse 14, and as men perish, they cried, and they cried went up to heaven. And this is, I want people to research it on their own. Like I said, the book of Enoch is trending. I remember the first time I came across the book of Enoch and several other books. I said, that's a large thing, man. That's why we don't embrace the large. They have all kinds of strange books. And Uncle, you're saying that the book of Enoch is referenced into these African scrolls that you have critically, in your religion, right? That's what I mean by extension, mm-hmm. have critically analyzed, right? Mm-hmm. There's such a thing as the book of Enoch. But in this book of Enoch, they mention these 200 angels who have taught men all kinds of strange things. And now they're causing havoc on the Lord, come and destroy all of them after that. In fact, put these angels in chains mm-hmm. and bound them up. And one of these things is teaching women how to put on makeup with some kind of magic thing. I've seen some nice-looking women turn nicer. I ain't looking at you, Aaron. I'm just saying.
That's good, because I ain't getting no nicer than
I've seen
this
magic. So. I've seen the magic in makeup. I've seen some interesting-looking women just change miraculously. And I'm concerned.
You're trying to say ugly woman.
No, no, it's not that, you know. It's not that, because there are women that I have to apologize to because I don't recognize them.
Right.
Because it's Obia.
It's not Obia.
Some kind of witchcrafty thing. They just change.
It's called the versatility of options.
And that's what the angel taught us. I'm seeing fallen angels taught us. I want to do some commentary. Where did this happen? Mm-hmm. Why so much different religions reference it? Because there are other religions who have similar stories about that. And then I want to know, you mentioned astrologies and these are signs and wonders, but now I'm hearing that these fallen angels are responsible for these same, teaching us these same signs and wonders and these same metal magic in terms of knives and
warfare. You're telling me that forging and blacksmithing
did not exist until these fallen angels come and teach it?
No,
that's not what I'm saying. No, go ahead.
So first of all, this was Enoch. Enoch is not the actual name of the person, all right? Enoch or Kanuk, and you go to the original books of the Bible. This word, this is an actual title. This is an actual title of a group of people who had survived the cataclysmic events of this. Remember we talked about the African Adam?
Mm-hmm.
All right? And that African Adam, they had gone through cataclysmic events. And those who had survived those cataclysmic events, they were referred to as Chanuk. All right? The person that is being referenced as Enoch, his name is Adapha. And this word Adapha is another way of saying an adept or a student or one who adapts. You understand? Mm-hmm. Because he was able to, not him, but those he led were able to survive the actual events that had killed many other tribes. You understand? Long story short, though, with regard to these 200 fallen angels, this Adapha or this Adama, right, this Adapha, he was sent to the children of Cain. Remember Stout?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Cain, they say he found a wife and he knew his wife. And the question was, where did his wife come from? And who were these people who weren't Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel?
Mm-hmm.
Well, these fallen angels were already in the earth. When you talk of, when you go to Genesis chapter 6, and this is what they did to us, is they put, And this is going to sound funny, they put the Bible in chronological order. What do I mean by that? They put it in the logical order of Chronos. They put it in the order that would ultimately assist the actual 200 fallen angels. They put it in the order of those who would assist the Greco-Romans. So he was actually going to the people who had been influenced by these 200 fallen angels, who had created the land of Nod, who had created, ultimately would become Sodom and Gomorrah, right? While, because in Genesis chapter 6, there are two groups of angels. One group, the first group that actually produced these giants that you were reading about, these are those disagreeables. They are teaching them their ways. This is why they was cast out of heaven in the first place. So the Bible, the way they have it written, they make you think that this book of Genesis is the very first book. But if you're reading it, if you're only holding the King James Version of the Bible, you really can start in Revelation, because there's a war in heaven, and then those 200 fallen, and actually there were billions, it was one-third cast out. They were cast down to the earth. This is what it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. When they came, they took them wives, because if you read Genesis 6, they say there was a group who took them wives. We can rape you. We can take what we want. And then there was another group that came in unto the women, which means they actually married them. They actually respectfully had families with them, right? So all of the things that the 200 fallen angels were teaching, it wasn't that was the first time it was being taught. It was being taught from their perspective, because we had solar biology before astrology. We had this metallurgy before they decided to make weapons with it, right? Even today, what you're calling pharmacy, that word in Revelation chapter 18, verse 23, if you look up the word sorcery, it's the word pharmacia.
Mm-hmm.
So we literally have sorcery hubs all over this country calling them pharmacies. I'm just speaking from a biblical, because I'm not telling you don't go to a pharmacy. I'm saying linguistically, that word sorcery means pharmacia. So someone has us in their white magic. Someone has us already in the ways of these.
I just want to reference you, your reference, mm-hmm. that the King James Version as presented is not the actual chronological order of the history unfolded in these books. I don't know if you, if anybody listening has seen the documentary called The Secret, but has seen it on the DVD, right? Has had a copy of the DVD. If you have a copy of the DVD, The Secret is actually uploaded sort of in modules, right? And you can randomize the order in which you watch the modules, right? So if you have this special DVD, you can randomize the order in which the different parts of the documentary appear, which then changes or creates a different experience for every random order of modules, which then could give you, so you can have an entirely different
interpretation
right. and reading because of the order in which the information is presented,
right.
which is actually the experience we're
having.
So
who would do that to the Bible?
Who would do that to the Bible?
The 200 fallen angels, the very angels we're talking about.
Let's go to the callers and you can continue right after him. Producer, pass the first caller for me through, please. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Newey. Good afternoon, Ms. Green. Good morning, Ms. Green, and good morning to your guests.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, see, you was talking about how the numerology and the numbers and stuff. I like them. The heavens, the most important thing to look at is the sun, all right? Because I think your guests would agree, and I mean, I think we need to understand how important it is, because it is relevant to Christmas and Easter in terms of it is when it reaches its most furthest southernest point and its furthest east and furthest south. I think your guests can confirm what I just said when I come off, right? So, but also too, if you look into it, I mean, it goes with the ages. So, when you look at the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn, that's based on the Aries being the equator. But when now we're in the New Age, and the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn are supposed to be two different signs. And I mean, you could watch a documentary called The Lost History of the World, and it explains that. But I wanted to ask your guest a question based on the numerology and something he had said before. He had spoken about the Melchizedek in terms of the 25,000 years, which mm-hmm. is equal to the great year, the great possession of all of the houses, right? Mm-hmm. So that would mean that if it's a set 25,000 year period, then that means that the Melchizedek character is locked to a particular constellation.
No, not in that way.
Oh, I mean, so that means it's not 25,000 years, and because 25,000 years is the end of the great procession, and everyone is like 2,000 years plus.
Well, let me say this before you continue, right? What the elders teach us is that the knowledge of the Awalin or the ancient ones, it must travel the circumference of the planet, which is 24,896 miles. Once it has done that, then that information must be renewed. That information is, or that period of time, is also likened unto what is called the precession, which is actually 26,000 years. And yes. It's because the earth is wobbling, right?
All right, but the point I'm getting at is, like, you see how they can determine when the solstices will come, right? I mean, when the eclipse mm-hmm. will come, mm-hmm. they can determine when an mm-hmm. eclipse will happen, because they happen as like clockwork, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to say is that when you say every 25,000 years, then that's like clockwork also. So I mean, like...
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
So what I'm saying to you then, that mm-hmm. it means that the 25,000 years is locked to a particular constellation.
Right, so...
Because
so Rachel Maddow talked about that a couple of years ago.
But see, the reason I'm asking, mm-hmm. I'm trying to get the particular point.
Go ahead.
Because, see, you know, Jesus is associated with the Jesus fish, which is Pisces.
Correct.
Right, and then they like to talk about Joseph and different stuff, and so in other words, then that means that 25,000 years, if it's Pisces, then that means that talking about comes from out of that constellation. Mm-hmm. And see, and the thing about it, It's like I see it when CA was talking about the stars and thing, right? I mean, I have a question. Why can't we be when you look up in the sky, right? Why can't each one of us be one of those stars in the sky, right? Why can't we be up there? And I mean, because like they base a lot of the technology that we see on how this realm that we live in operates, right? Mm-hmm. So like right now, like if I turn my radio on, right? I get a radio signal, and the signal, but when it hits my radio, it turns into sound. I can hear, like you were talking about frequency and vibration and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. It leaves at one point, but I cannot see it. And whilst it's traveling here, you can't hear it go into the air.
Right.
But when it hits my radio, it transforms itself into audio, and I can hear it coming through as a sound, right? Mm-hmm. So why can't we be? Is it possible that we can be when we hear the thoughts in our minds? Right, coming from out of nowhere, inspiration and different things coming from our mind. Can it be that we are getting a signal that is being sent via that same type of vibration, right? But when it reaches our mind, we hear it in the form of a thought. Mm-hmm. You understand where I'm coming from? Mm-hmm. Because, see, we need to, in my opinion, we need to begin to look and be able to associate ourselves with it in a more deeper sense. You know what I mean? We need to teach people that when they were born, is relevant to who they are, and it determines why they are the way they are. You know, you may be, when you read the characteristics of a certain sign, you may realize that, hey, man, that's me. You know what I mean? I have them kind of attributes, and then you'll be able to better understand yourself, and then you'll be able to, like, because it also tells you what you are weak at. So once you know that, too, then you can begin to, like, try to begin to feel yourself more and notice when you begin to go this way or that way, because you know that you are stronger here, and you know that you are weaker here. And then not only that, it gives you an idea of who best is a match for you in terms of their attributes and their characteristics. So it can even help you better pick someone, a mate, or whatever the case may be, because you have a better understanding of what's going on. It might even make you choose when you might want to try and conceive a child. You know what I mean? It might make you take that kind of consideration, because you might want a child to be born in a particular time of the year. So, you know, you might say something, you know, something, this mating season, because I want my child to be born X amount of months. You understand where I come from? Because I feel as if, like, the talking with you and fear doing, and then I understand you, Uncle. Mm-hmm. I can follow it because I understand certain things, right? But I mean, to the normal person, like, them kind of things, they kind of, like, look too deep for them. Well,
yeah, that's why we got to bring it down to that level.
But when you talk about people's zodiac signs, they can understand that. And a lot of people, and if you look around now, unconsciously, a lot of people are getting into that kind of stuff because they are drawn to it now. So, I mean, they have a desire for to bring a broader understanding to this thing so we can better understand ourselves. But thank you very much. And I always enjoy when you come on, brother.
Thank you, man. We got to meet someday.
I get opportunity to ask you some questions.
Yeah, we got
to
meet someday.
Thank you.
Yeah, man.
I have another caller, and I can talk about the zodiac signs. I see a lot of people read their dream book.
I just want to say this before you go to ask.
If you do your dream book, you're going to hell. I'm just saying that if you have a dream book, and if you say you're a Sagittarius,
next time we're going to talk about dreams,
you got to say you're going to hell.
So let's be clear, though. What we're talking about, a solar biology, is not astrology. When they say the zodiac, they're saying the arc of the animals. They are talking about an actual dissipating ether or ghost ether that is not living ether. All right. The Africans, we had our own symbols. We had our own signs and understanding of what all of that meant. So everything he was talking about, you have to get it from the interpretation of your blood seed. As we as Africans had our own interpretation.
Good. Because if you don't zodiac signs, you're going to hell. That's just what I'm saying.
You're in hell. You're in Hellenism.
Where's the one? Yeah. Let's go to the next caller. Yeah. Say zodiac signs. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, girl, once. Caller, can you hear me?
Sorry, caller.
Just go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
Teach, Uncle. I tell you, what we call the eclipse, I tell you a story. In the 70s, when there was an encoded signal off the moon, and we should do this during the next eclipse. My call sign was CTS-ACT. I bounced it to Macon, Missouri to a friend, KT5Y. When her father realized that she was talking to a black man, well, you know, he was the guy who invented the Pac-Man machines, who I was talking to. He refused to have her speak to me anymore. But that was a really interesting experience. So the next eclipse that comes about, we need to don't be gazing at it. Take 104 megahertz, shoot it at it, and have someone pick it up on the other side of the planet.
You want Ron DeSantis to call Brave right away, sir.
Before they cut me.
Yes, sir.
All right. There is a Latin word, interstitium, I-N-T-E-R-S-T-I-T-I-U-M. Inter means between, stitium means places. And J. Gregory right now at Mount Sinai has discovered that that's the largest organ in the body, and it's really just space, like dark matter, dark energy. Uncle, I appreciate what you're doing. You are awakening. And continue, my friend, because, you know, a lot of people are listening, so you need to come on more often.
Appreciate Thank you very listening.
Much. Yes, indeed. I know, but I come on more often. People already said he tried to convert me.
Man, listen. In the beginning, there was the word, and the word, the sound, and sound is frequency, and we are all frequency.
I need to take you to church. And in the beginning was Jesus.
Jesus
was the word.
Not even in the book it says that, Nuri.
No.
It says that.
Let's go to the next caller, because you're trying to confuse me for true.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? We would also Sarah Calhoun, Cleveland Indians III, who's a critical theologist. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, sir. Yes. Uncle, I know that you've spoken a lot of that. Sometimes we focus so much on Eastern Africa and Western Africa, but I hardly hear anything from Southern Africa as far as the ontology and the cosmology of our Southern African bloodlines, which are some of the oldest in the world today. I listen to Credo Mutwa, the Zulu shaman.
I know him.
There's a really extraterrestrial emphasis in their ontology and stuff. Could you offer something of that, please?
Sure. Well, one of the things that has happened to the continent is we are still under the boundaries of what they call the Berlin Conference. This idea that Europeans were going to, in the late 1800s, decide where the boundaries were going to actually be in Africa. We're still under that curse today. We didn't have those same types of boundaries, and we were able to free flowly throughout the continent. So when we talked about the various tribes, which they refer to, they call them dynasties in Egyptology, but these were actual tribes. And these tribes actually, migrated amongst or between each other. There's even a tribe that was well known for it. They're called, this is where the word ambassador comes from, this word basa, where they would go between the east and the west, the north and the south, whereby we had, as we talked about it last week, this tribal leader called Senakin Re, or Weemesu, he understood that we had to bring all of the information or the knowledge from the north, the south, the east, and the west into an area or into context whereby these tribes could actually function as one. This is where this reality of atonism, or at-one-ism, is really talking about. So within atonism, the records of the Zulu, the records of the San, because when you talk about the San, these San people, they are of a lighter hue as compared to some of the purple, merple, dark people, but they're not mixed. They actually have the skin complexion of the actual environment that they actually grew out of. And so the San people are some of the oldest people, as you said, Carla, that exist genealogically as with regard to studying the records. But what I want us to be clear about, and this is what our Basesh Haruhotep Ta, Dr. A.J. Varma, talks about, when we learn about these different tribal rulers, well, let me put it another way, when we learn about the prophets within the Bible, right, where these tribal rulers are actually the prophets in the Bible, these were contemporaries. These were people who were all trying to push out these Hyksos or these Canaanites who were coming into our lands to destroy our records. There was no such thing as the Bible. We didn't have no one book that everybody read from until it became necessary to do so because of the various invasions that were taking place whereby our records were being ransacked and merged in a way that didn't allow us to understand the sequence of events. So we had to have, and in each generation we have guidance that is sent amongst us to assist us with putting these records in order. As we talked about the Melchizedek, or this righteous ruler, or this king of peace, they would say in the Bible, as people hold it today, every 25,000 years our records have to be renewed. And those records are from all, not only the tribes in Africa, but along the Mississippi River, along the Amazon River, along the Indus River Valley, our people, we lived close to these water sources all over the planet. You understand? And so what this true religious identity is doing for us is allowing us to understand that we have mixed in because of the various slave trades. We're going to have to learn about ourselves, as one of the previous callers talked about, with regard to solar biology. But let me go back to what he was saying. You have 16 personalities inside of you. So you, your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. You go back four generations, that's 14, and then you have two within you. This is why they talk about a war within, all right? If that's spooky for you, you have two nervous systems. You have a sympathetic and a parasympathetic nervous system, all right? One controls how your heart beats and your eye blinks. You don't think about that stuff. The other controls how you voluntarily lift or lower your hand. So you have these two beings within you. And what a solar biological priest, what those who are were tasked, the Zo, they call them the Zo, they were those who studied these constellations, they would be the ones who would assist you in learning about your genealogy to the point where, as the caller said, you would know who your mate or your wife or your husband would be. When was the best time to conceive? Why would that? I'll give you an example. If you had a tribe of drummers or a tribe that had a family, rather, within a tribe that was known for drumming, and they were getting older, and let's say the youngest one now was in their 30s or 40s, and they know we got to start having some drummers in this tribe, or we're going to not have the drummers. We could understand the genealogy of those who would come together, how they would reproduce. So we have what's called the science and the art of sex according to the Min priesthood, right? When to conceive. And in doing that, they would give birth to a drummer. They would give birth to a healer. They would give birth to a priest, etc. We understood this, but we were guided by the priests. It wasn't like today where you just go on Google.
Is that similar to an almanac and knowing when to plant crops that grow
similar,
up?
Similar.
Knowing when to plant crops that grow
similar,
down.
Similar, yes.
We're concluding now. The music is playing. Yeah. But when you come back next, mm-hmm. Anne Kusara, something's happening to us black people.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I want to mention that it's like we are searching. Yeah. Everyone using these crystals. Everyone searching, say, questioning history.
It's called a genetic mm-hmm. explosion. That's we'll what talk about it next week.
Yeah. Dwight Howard, C.A., Zhivago, Naughty. Greetings from Miss Butler, one of y'all avid listeners. She tell me I must send y'all this shout out today and show y'all. Thank you so much for being a part of her life.
Boom.
Good. Next week, I'm Kusara.
Namaste.
Anyway,
yes.
Has been, I've forget where I work again. This has been Guardian Radio AM. Thank you very much, Cleveland Indians III.
Thank you for having us.
Have a wonderful day.
Namaste.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.